Good evening and welcome to another exciting edition of the Midweek Connection on KC 107.7. You are listening to Connor Robertson. Today our special guest is once again Kitsometse Sisana, the Acting Deputy CEO of the South African Institute of Taxation. Today's discussion will be about South Africa's recent official removal from the SATF grey listing. This promises to be an incredibly insightful conversation, especially if you don't know what happened regarding the grey listing and why South Africa was placed in the grey listing in the first place. We're really going to go into the background, what happened and how we actually got out of the grey listing. But for more, let's take a break, let's listen to some music, and when we return, we're going to go straight into the interview.
This is KC 107.7.
And welcome back. Once again, you are listening to the Midweek Connection. I am Connor Robertson, and today our very special guest is Kitsometse Sisana, the Acting Deputy CEO of SITE. So, first of all, how are you doing in this crazy year-end buzz?
Oh man, thank you very much for having me, Connor. It is indeed a race to the finish line. I think we're all just trying to wrap up for the year, but you know, things on the fiscal side are ramping up, but we are here for the thrill and I look forward to unpacking these topics with you.
So for the listeners who missed out, today we're going to be discussing South Africa's recent official removal from the Financial Action Task Force's grey listing. So for those listeners who are not familiar, could you briefly explain what the Financial Action Task Force is and what it means to be placed on this grey list?
Thank you very much. So the Financial Action Task Force leads global action to tackle money laundering and terrorist activities that are funded through sources of income that are unknown, right? So the FATF would approach certain countries who have a relaxed approach in terms of how they handle their finances or investments into the country and financial flows. And if you're found wanting as a specific jurisdiction, you're then placed on a black or a grey list, which indicates to other countries that you are not an attractive investment destination or an entity or a country that one should not enter into business with. So we understand that South Africa was placed in the grey list, and it was as a result of our lax controls when it came through to financing and certain activities that are done by many government departments, where the FATF have just felt that South Africa does not have a tight handle on financial flows, and therefore we were then put on the grey list, which is a signal to investors that, yeah, we are open to business, but it's probably not a good idea to invest in South Africa.
So what does this decision actually signify in practical terms for the country?
So this actually signifies that we have now overcome the systemic weaknesses that were aggravated, as the commissioner stated in the statement at the time, that were aggravated during the era of state capture. So we've overcome those weaknesses, and key institutions are now reporting accurately on the financial flows or monies that flow through these specific institutions. It means that by getting off the grey list, we have tightened those systemic weaknesses, and it is now incumbent upon South Africa to basically be open for business. And we've now shown propensity to actually have tighter controls, and everyone can just invest, and we know where your source of funds come from, and it's not going through to jurisdictions or activities that may circumvent legal or illegal activities.
So let's look at the journey of the grey listing. Okay, what were the key issues that originally led to South Africa's grey listing in 2023? Because I'm pretty sure everyone knows that we were placed on it, but I don't think everyone knows the reason why we were placed on the grey list.
So I'll mention just a couple of issues. There were 22 action item points that were required by FATF, and members are indeed encouraged to look at the media statement that went out in 2023 from the National Treasury, which outlined those key action item points. But they all boiled down to essentially the fact that there was not accurate collaborative measures between various government institutions with regard to illicit financial flows, whether this resulted from illicit financial flows when it comes to cross-border interactions. There was not a lot of, you know, institutions such as NET Joints or the NPCOC, National Priority Crime Operational Committee. There was also a lack of representation or reporting as to who essentially is the beneficial owner of monies that flow through South Africa or various entities in South Africa. There was also a lack of controls when it came to legal persons or trusts that are utilized through specific institutions such as the Masters or the CIPC. So those are just the some of the issues that placed us on the grey list, but eventually all just fall under the banner of lack of systemic control over where the money is coming from and what the money is going to do or get funded to be utilized for.
So since then, what concrete steps or reforms did South Africa implement to address the concerns? I know, obviously, that recently CIPC and SARS has brought in the beneficial ownership application, but was there any other reforms that were placed?
So that's actually one of the biggest ones that were brought in, and we know that SARS, for example, did roll out things like a traveler management system, which developed this digital traveler declaration system for cash and bearer negotiable instruments on entry and exit at all borders. So we can see where the money's coming in from and what the money's going to do. And you're right to mention that there was this introduction of a beneficial ownership that was now becoming compulsory from a CIPC perspective and the Master of the High Court, just so that the reporting obligations for legal persons and trusts are closely collaborated or dealt with by the various institutions to improve access to accurate and up-to-date beneficial ownership information. It was important to have the beneficial ownership definition come into legislation as well as into practice by these various institutions because of the very nature of the illicit financial flows that one could never, although you might complete your KYC documents, but South Africa was placed on the grey list because one would never know who has provided the money and who the money eventually has to go to, who is the beneficial owner or receiver of that specific money or funds and for what specific purpose. So that is essentially one of the greatest initiatives that has come out from the fact that South Africa was on the grey list, now that we have this conduit, a visible conduit. But also, in my opinion, Connor, having been on the grey list was a blessing in disguise, although it was for quite some time, because it has now enhanced, increased collaboration across various government departments. As I mentioned, the commissioner in his statement spoke about the NPCOC working with NET Joints, working with the South African Anti-Money Laundering Integrated Task Force, and SARS also worked with those institutions, National Treasury. So everybody was singing off the same hymn book so that we understand what money is coming to South Africa, what is it meant to do, and how does it affect our investor confidence.
Absolutely. And for me, when I heard about the grey listing, I thought, you know, it was the shock factor because it went crazy in the news. And yes, I think it was the shock therapy that South Africa really needed, because if we look at the beneficial ownership application and how much detail and how much information it provides us that we just never had, I think it was the shock that we needed. And it's like you said, it's led us into this better and more improved area of like not only just South African small business, but business as a whole and collaboration. Because I think every department was just doing their own thing.
Indeed. And you can even see this from what has now happened recently in the news that South Africa's credit rating has been improved by S&P to a BB+. At the moment, which is signals that this whole of government approach and everybody working together, whether it's from this tax side or it's from a policymaker side, we all work together to get off the fat of grey lists or under these jurisdictions that are increasingly monitored. And now we have the confidence and people can now come to South Africa and invest without having to look over their shoulders.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, we're going to listen to some music, and then when we return, we're going to look at the impact or the economic and business impact of this grey listing removal. We'll see you shortly.
This is Casey 107.7.
And welcome back. Once again, you are listening to The Midweek Connection. I am Connor Robertson, and with our guest Kitsumetse Sasana, we are busy discussing South Africa's recent removal from the Financial Action Task Force's grey listing. So let's look at the economic and business impact of this removal. While on the grey list, South Africa faced concerns around investment and reputation. What kind of economic or financial effects can we expect now that the country has been removed?
As I mentioned, we're really starting to see some positive results as a result of a removal from that grey list, and one being the upgrading of our credit rating. No doubt this will restore investor confidence in South Africa. And when there is investor confidence, this means that there is more foreign direct investment in the country. More foreign direct investment filters through to many avenues. We've spoken about this at length in various platforms, that if there's more FDI, more people are spending money here. This means that there's more VAT consumption. People are starting to open up businesses in South Africa. They're hiring people. They're paying over the relevant taxes. So being removed of there has those significant economic benefits. And eventually, if our currency, I'm predicting, or as some economists predict as well, that this would strengthen our currency, and likely this would also lead to lower cost of living and just better business environment in the long term. So all in all, it's very, very good for South Africa. But we must note from the media statement that was released by National Treasury that it doesn't mean that now the South Africa is off the grey list, along with other countries such as Nigeria, Mozambique, and Burkina Faso, that this is where the journey ends. In fact, this is where the journey begins, because the FATF will require that those countries that have exited the grey list demonstrate continued commitment through measurable outcomes, successful investigations, prosecutions, and sanctions as these relate to anti-money laundering and commercial crimes. So we are looking forward to seeing, you know, greater economic benefits, but we're also looking to see how government is going to, you know, come down harder on those who are enabling these illicit financial flows.
You know, it's quite important that we have this word called consistency, and I think it's awesome that we got off the grey listing and everything, but it's not, you know, this obviously can never be the peak. So it is just about us as a country being consistent every day, looking to be better. I really hope that this is just the start of something so much greater, because I know we as South Africans are an emerging market, right? But I just look at the ability of our people. I look at the resources we have at hand, and we do have the ability to be so much more. I just hope that this removal isn't just our peak. It is a start of something so much greater. It's opening eyes, and it's showing not only government but our people as a whole that there's levels to this game.
Yes, there indeed is, and we're starting to see the fruits of that now.
Absolutely. So how might local businesses and financial institutions experience the impact of this change on a practical and day-to-day level?
So it would basically mean that doing business within South Africa or with South Africans will now become easier. Having the, for lack of a better word, having the cloud of grey list or blacklist above your head makes it that much more difficult to engage in legitimate business. If someone wants to engage from a South African perspective, there are no doubt a lot of hurdles that they need to go through from a compliance perspective. So being removed of the grey list will actually help local businesses and financial institutions make it easier for them to do business, because there's far fewer compliance hurdles, and they would benefit from a more stable and predictable regulatory environment. This will obviously lower the costs of doing business and open up new opportunities for growth for South Africans to transact cross-border and to grow their businesses, and also for people to transact with South Africa and thereby increase our FDI.
So a topic that that I feel like a lot of people find boring, but I'm actually super interested in this segment of the interview, is governance and compliance. Mm-hmm. From site's perspective, how critical is ongoing compliance and monitoring to ensure we don't end up going back onto this list?
It is absolutely important or imperative that there is increased governance, robust transparency and accountability. If you look at it from a South African Institute of Taxation perspective, just with regards to our own members, we vet our members on an annual basis just to ensure that everybody is compliant, so that when a person purports or presents themselves to be a practitioner of our organization, then we can seriously vet and say, XYZ has been vetted by us and they're legitimate, we can put our stamp there on. So the lessons of governance and transparency and accountability that we feel need to be understood by the greater public is that we cannot underestimate the importance of governance and having robust systems in place, testing these systems and not allowing loopholes into the system, because that will help to overall create a healthy financial system, as we, the South African Institute of Taxation, also contribute to a healthy tax system by the quality of practitioner that is under our umbrella. It's important that these that we've learned the lessons, continue to enhance in governance, transparency and accountability, so that these institutions remain strong in order to prevent and circumvent any financial crimes that might land us back on the grey list again and would eventually reduce the country to an even lower status and lose investor confidence.
So let's go back, right? What role do tax practitioners and tax professionals play in maintaining the standards required by FATF going forward?
Excellent question. So tax practitioners, we know that we're mandated by Section 240 of the TAA Act. This is, we operate within the regulatory ambit of the tax administration. And it's important that tax practitioners and tax professionals understand what their role is. It is not about assisting someone who is doing illegal things in the hope that you will just get money for doing so, completing a return and turning a blind eye. It's no longer just about ticking a box or producing a letter. It is incumbent upon tax practitioners and all financial professionals in this arena to take themselves as the front line of compliance. KYC is very important. Know your client, very important. Understand who you are interacting with and ensure that your client follows the rules. If at any point in time a practitioner or a professional feels that, you know, you've gone through the risk processes and you know your client, however, your client is still involved in suspicious activity, then it is incumbent upon you as a professional, as a practitioner, to report that suspicious activity to the relevant authorities. And that will help us to maintain, to root out any elements that are negative and to maintain the integrity of the financial system. Although, and I must just reiterate this, Connor, that, you know, it was a whole of government approach from the various institutions we spoke about earlier. And, you know, we really didn't speak about tax that much, but tax plays a massive, massive portion in this specific activity of keeping ourselves off the grey list. We must comply, and practitioners can help by being the front lines of compliance.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the one misconception that I feel, it's not been growing, it's always been like underlying and it's always been there, is that tax practitioners always, I feel like sometimes tax practitioners feel like they are there to assist the business owner or the business, where in actual fact we're there to report what is going on in the business to SARS. So it's not a sense of, I always feel that sometimes tax professionals feel like they are fighting for the client, and yes, of course, we want to assist the taxpayer, but it cannot be at the detriment of obviously turning a blind eye to certain activities and obviously not informing SARS of especially criminal activities. That is where I think, that's where I think you as a professional need to step back. And I mean, as I know, as being a member of SAIC, I mean, just being, you know, sticking to the rules and actually just doing your job doesn't just mean doing a submission, but it's actually about knowing what's good and just sticking to it.
Exactly. I completely agree. So the role of a practitioner is no longer just the person who files the return, who just takes instruction. We have to apply our minds, because if one person in that link does not perform or does not do their job, we risk the entire country going back onto the grey list, or even worse, the black list, which would not be good for anyone.
Absolutely. So looking ahead, what further steps should South Africa take to strengthen its anti-money laundering and counter-terrorism finance frameworks beyond, obviously, the FATF of compliance?
So it's working upon the current premise that we faced, again, from the statement that National Treasury released. It's not time to rest on our laurels. So we need to strengthen the frameworks within the relevant institutions that play a part in this whole chain by keeping us off the grey list. So each and every institution, whether it is the CIPC, whether it is SAIT, whether it is, you know, the Hawks, everybody has to play their role and strengthen their current frameworks, but also investing in technology that can help us to pick up, you know, these illicit flows much more easier, and to deal with them specifically would be something I'd recommend. And also investing in skills. We have to foster a environment where the culture of compliance is indeed favored, because this will help us stay ahead of evolving financial risks. And we need those skills to assist us to charter the way forward. So that will just be the steps that I would recommend that we do, so we can, you know, stay off the grey list, but also be compliant even beyond the removal from the grey list.
So finally, what message would you like to share to our listeners and to South Africans as a whole, especially businesses and professionals, about this milestone, what it means, and how we sustain this progress moving forward?
The ultimate message is this achievement is a testament that if we work collaboratively as a whole of government approach, as the commissioner likes to pen it, then through collaboration and commitment, we can really achieve great things, such as removing South Africa off the grey list. But we need to sustain this process. We shouldn't rest on our laurels. Whether you're an individual or whether you're a business, you need to remain vigilant, understand where the illicit financial flows are coming from, know your client, don't turn a blind eye, uphold the highest level of standards, and continue to work together to protect the financial system. It's important that we have this coordinated approach, or else, as I mentioned earlier, Connor, we could find ourselves back on the grey list, even worse, the blacklist.
So I hope, honestly, that our listeners really found this conversation insightful. I really want to thank you once again for your time and all your effort. But for now, it's a wrap. We're going to see you same time, same place. God bless.